Welcome to the Shiur Hakshava Kabbalah Parshas Noah. Just want to start off by mentioning, I neglected to mention last time, I said I should mention it this time, so the edition of the Hakshava Kabbalah that I'm using is a beautiful edition recently produced by Rabbi Moshe Tsuriel, published in Mosad Rav Kook. Again, it's very beautifully organized, you know, with some paragraph headings and the like, and I just want to be makir tov to Rabbi Tsuriel for putting together such a beautiful work that really opens up the Hakshava Kabbalah in such a beautiful fashion. I wanted to start tonight with the Hakshava Kabbalah that combines grammar and hashkafa. So you think two things we usually don't think of going together so much. I mean, some of us might have had grandmothers who were big Bali Hashkafa, Balos Hashkafa, but that's about the extent of it. Usually grammar in the dictuk sense of the term and Hashkafa we don't normally put together. Nonetheless, after the Mabul is finished, beginning of Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis, so the Ribbono Shel Olam blesses Noach and his children, and he says to them, U'malrachem v'chitchem yiyeh al kol chayas ha'aretz v'al kol ov ha'shomayim, your fear will be on all of the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the heavens. B'chol asher tirmosu adama b'chol degei hayom b'yadchem nitanu. The sense of that last phrase is that, you know, into your hands will be given dominion over all of the things that crawl upon the earth, as well as all of the fish that swim in the sea. All of them will be given into your hands. The Hakshava Kabbalah focuses on two bases that seem to be extraneous in that second half of the pasuk. If the point of the pasuk is to say that all of the crawling things and all of the fish, v'yadchem nitanu, will be given over to your hands, so l'chara, the proper way to express it would have been kol asher tirmosu adama v'chol degei hayom v'yadchem nitanu. Right, all of these things will be given into your hands. That's not what the pasuk says exactly. Bechol asher tirmos l'adama, bechol degei hayom b'yadchem nitanu. There's an additional prefix of a beis which is added to each of these phrases, which on the surface doesn't really seem to have any meaning whatsoever. So I say Hakshava Kabbalah, yesh mefarshim beis in elu kamo al. Some interpret these beis in as if it was the word al, upon. V'chose al tchilas ha-mikro, v'tamo marachem yihyeh al kol asher tirmos v'al kol degei. In other words, in that case, those phrases elaborate upon the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says that your fear will be upon all of the beasts of the field, and the continuation would simply be al asher tirmos v'adama v'al degei hayom. Right, all of those, you know, your fear will fall upon all of these different fish, crawling things. You know, your fear is going to extend to all of them, and then at that point, b'yadchem nitanu would be a separate sentence. All of them are given over into your hands. The only problem is, says the Hakshava Kabbalah, ho'esnach shebemilas hashamayim yemayin bozeh. If that was how the pasuk should be interpreted, so the esnachta, right, which marks the middle of the phrase of the, or the division of the pasuk into two, should have been on the word hayom instead of on the word hashamayim. In other words, if b'yadchem nitanu is a totally different sentence, totally different phrase, and really the first part of the pasuk says your fear will be on all of the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the heaven, all that crawls upon the land, and everything on all the fish of the sea. If it's four different things that the fear of man is going to fall upon, so the esnachta, marking the midpoint of the sentence of the pasuk, should have been inserted at that point. That's not what the esnachta is. The esnachta indicates that there are two sentences. Your fear will be on the animals and on the birds, period. And something about the things that crawl on the earth and the fish that will be given over into your hands. So it doesn't really work so well. Others, he say, interpret the basin to be like voven. You know, they have the word and again, difficult to understand. So, what do we do with these basin? I think most of us would probably say, you move on. Okay, so there's a two basin which we don't quite understand. We get the gist of it. We get the point. You know, more or less we can translate the pasuk. But in these two basin, the Kaksava Kabbalah sees the whole hashkafa, the whole way of looking at the world. There's a great idea which is being taught over here. Vahu lomos dehushlat ha'odam lahashkes shar balichayim lecholosam. What gives us the right to kill other living things and eat them? Now, depending on who you talk to nowadays, some people will dispute that we have that right, right? But we know that's actually this week's parasha, right? You're allowed to go, you know, Noach and his children were allowed to go out and eat other living things. They were given permission to eat animals. But why is that? From a certain perspective, man is actually inferior to other animals. In what sense is man inferior to other animals? Where does man come from? As Pirkei Avos reminds us, we all come from a putrid drop, a smelly drop. A seed which produces a plant doesn't smell, right? So doesn't the fact that human seed smells and the seed that produces a beautiful plant doesn't smell, doesn't that somehow indicate that there's a certain superiority that the plant world has to the human world? Oh, gamzera behema ein bo sirchon kol kach kebe'odom. I haven't really researched this, but he says, you know, the seed of animals as well doesn't have that same putrid quality that a man's seed does. The chayvim most adam sarchli covered by oris lefishin of lasto malit sachan of the hagash him yutalapi asteri yachsid o'avir rachmaru litzlan, a human corpse as the human corpse begins to decompose, it smells bad, it smells up the whole area, it's terrible. Ve'en kein ha'ilon kishiyavish, when a tree dies, you know, doesn't smell so bad. Ve'abalechayim kishiyavush she'en ha'malim kol kach ve'achra, even animals when they die, yes, certainly there's the smell, a scent that attaches itself to the carcass as it decomposes, but not to the extent to which a man's does. V'chein v'toladu v'gidol ha'odom pochus yosem v'balechayim k'balechayim kishin ha'odom nigmar tzivyonom ma'ashiyu b'vo'am b'shonim hem yad b'tzeisem la'avir ha'olom v'odom b'ibar b'me'un echshof. When you compare man, human beings, to animals, animals, when they're born, have a much shorter maturation process than do human beings. Not to say there's no maturation process at all when it comes to animals, but they grow up a lot faster. Human beings in 2018, until they get out of childhood, it's roughly about 45 years or so, right? That's okay, maybe not quite that, but that's certainly in today's society, you know, we have a 45-year childhood or so.
Advantage.
What's that?
That's an advantage.
Yeah. Okay, all right, you could look at it from that perspective, but you could also see it as putting forth, you know, something fundamentally inferior about the child. The fact that the child needs so much time to be nurtured, you know, in the animal world, you know, within a short period of time, they're already, they're up and running, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Human beings have to be coddled for such a period of time. Doesn't that indicate something less than ideal? Human excrement smells bad relative to the excrement that's produced by other animals, birds, or the like. So, with looking at all of that, you know, one might ask,
human beings in many ways are inferior to the plant world, to the animal world, to the bird, to the world of birds. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give us the right to consume these things? If anything, you know, we inferior beings are consuming something that in many ways is superior to us. Davar zeba kosev lam dein shena davar king be'emes. The point of this pasuk, in a very subtle way, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, is to teach us that we're mistaken, that there's a certain superiority that man has despite all of these things. Nahafochu yesh yisron ma'alo l'bali chayim yochlenu ha'adam. And you should know, davka, when a plant or an animal is consumed by a human being, that actually raises the plant or the animal to a higher level. We see a fascinating thing, says Aksav HaKabbalah, the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world. When something is destroyed, that is actually the key to its being elevated. Right? So, he says, for instance, Hadomein poshet surasto velovesh suras hatsomeach. When things that are lower on the food chain are consumed by things that are higher on the food chain, they take on the form of that which consumed them. Right, the point of something which is created is not to stay in a static form the way it was created, an item's purpose is to be elevated by becoming part of something which is actually higher and more sophisticated than it in itself on the food chain. Amnon, he writes, however, when does this item, whether it's a plant or an animal or the like, when it's consumed, when is it elevated? When does it achieve a higher level than it had previously? It has to be that a man who's a mensch, an adam, someone who's elevated in his own qualities, consumes the item. And what does that mean? When a human being consumes food in order to further his ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that elevates the food which he consumes, that elevates the plant or the animal from which this food was derived. But someone who just likes to fresh, as they say, he just likes to feed himself and drink, and doesn't see the consumption of food and drink as a vehicle to bring him closer to Hashem, to his Torah, and to serving him. So, then what you're doing is not elevating that which was eaten, you're just sort of destroying it. Vanoshin ko'ela im tolar v'tzuras adam aleim heim behemo heimo lehem nimshalka behemos nidma. They may, individuals who just, you know, don't have a sense of their higher purpose and are just eating and drinking because they like to eat and drink, they may look like human beings, but they're really not so different than animals. And he quotes a number of Mamori Chazal to this effect. I'm just skipping through a little bit. When the Pasuk in Yeshaya speaks about how all of their tables are filled with filth, what that's really talking about, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that's talking about people who are eating, you know, but they're not eating in a context of elevating themselves spiritually. They're just eating because they're eating. That's, you know, Pirkei Avos quotes that pasuk in the context of people who are sitting and eating and not saying Divrei Torah over the table. right? Because when you say Divrei Torah over the table, you're showing I want to eat for a higher purpose. Otherwise, you're just pressing, you're just stuffing yourself with food. The Abchusim Koelu Amru Kol She'enu Osik BaTorah Osir Lechol Baser Beim Of Ha'Of. Of course, the Gemara in Pesachim, person's not allowed in Torah, not involved in Torah study, you can't eat flesh. You can't eat the meat of an animal or a bird, right? So the Torah does advocate vegetarianism, but as a substitute for Torah learning, right? As if you're involved in Torah learning, so that's your only heter. Says the Gemara Pesachim, Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Testament Base. That's the only heter to be involved in eating fleishes. Why? Ki chol she'ein lo chelek b'Torah. Explains the Ksav HaKabbalah. If you have no connection to Torah. If your life is just going from one party to another party, if you live to eat as opposed to eating to live, so then by eating that previously living creature, you're not elevating that creature, you're degrading that creature in a certain sense. And that, you know, the purpose of eating is to try to raise up to raise that which was being consumed. It's interesting to note, by the way, we know that particularly in Kabbalah, the Kabbalah of the Arizal, the Kabbalah which was made popular by the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, there's a notion of, you know, that by eating with proper kavanas, one can be ma'ala l'nitzotzos, one can raise up the holy sparks which are inside the food. As much as the Aksava Kabbalah was versed in Kabbalah, again, he, as we pointed out last time, he liberally quotes from the Zohar and from other Kabbalah Svarim, he doesn't even present this idea in a Kabbalistic vein. In other words, he's not talking about being malon litzotzos, raising up sparks, or anything of that nature. He's sticking to Gemaras, plain and simple. Gemaras and Psukim. The Gemaras indicate that the purpose of eating is to somehow elevate that which one is eating for the purposes of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And absent that mindset, you really, on a certain level, don't have the right to be able to consume meat. I mean, that's, again, it's the Gemara Pesachim, it's not a Zohar. You know, that's ultimately the reason why one eats. V'ein l'cho ilo yoser godl b'al chaya pachos elo liyoso mishamish la'odom mivchar abriya. The best thing that an animal can hope for in its life is to be consumed by someone who wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way, the animal itself is going to be elevated. And he quotes the Gemara in Tainus, Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, La'olam yireh adam asmal kilu kadosh sharui besoch meyof. A person should view himself as if something holy is in his gut. Shenemar v'kir b'chol kadosh. So what does that mean? I should walk around viewing myself as if I have Kedusha inside my guts? Sounds very strange. So again, so he explains, the Aksav HaKabbalah explains, the idea over here is the same idea as the Gemara in Pesachim. You know, what you eat, viewed properly, can be a vehicle to Kedusha. So in other words, the person who really sees his dinner as the vehicle to bringing him to higher heights of Avodas Hashem, and, you know, commitment to Torah, has Kedusha in his guts, in his stomach, by virtue of that which he has consumed. Mitam zeh, amru ki lo suchal se'eso, ein se'eso la'achila, right, the idea of being able to carry that which you have inside of you, you know, is in a way that reflects Kedusha, is this idea of achila. Hamaychol atzmo nisro meim v'nisnasei mimadregosu abchusel madrego rama unasa'a. Right? When a person eats in this way, he raises up the quality of the food from being simply an animal to being something exalted. V'doma l'maychol mesharsi Hashem hanikro b'shem truma. And in a sense, you can transform on some level that food which you consume into something which can be called truma, the same way that truma is holy food consumed by the Kohanim. You can do something akin to that in your own life. Okay, so if you eat properly, it can elevate the food incredibly. If you eat just to eat, so, you know, in a sense, you're missing out and even perhaps degrading, you know, the food which the person is consuming. Tremendous muster which the Kesav HaKabbalah gives us. Again, we all eat, you know, and, you know, the act of eating can either be a spiritually elevating act or something which, Rahman al-Islam, can be the opposite. Okay, wonderful. What's that got to do with the two extra basin in the Pasuk? So it says that Sava Kabbalah is found. Al-Kavonah says, Tovid Olech Mamar Mikra Shalafonenu. Let's understand the Pasuk that we have based on all of what I've just explained. Ki Milas Kol, Hu Nirdaf in Milas Sholem. When we refer to something as kol, as all of something, it doesn't just mean all of the units of something. Kol is a synonym, kaf lamed is a synonym for the idea of shleimus, for the idea of completion. Shalem in yano gmar adova b'shleimusa. Kein milas kol in yano kulo shel dova. When you talk about something as being kol, you mean the entirety of something. He uses the word, in parentheses, he puts in the word gantz. Right, you know, the entirety of something is wrapped up with the idea of kol, and you know, that refers to the idea of shleimus. Shemis achdim bo kol anisrach elav bin chaser bo od lashlimo. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing that we don't have. You know, kol implies not just that numerically everything is present, but qualitatively, not just quantitatively, but qualitatively, everything is present as well. Ve'in hevdel ben amru v'tishlam kol ha'melacha levein v'tichal kol ha'avoda. V'tishlam and v'tichal are two words which essentially mean the same thing. Uva'amarcha klilas yofi. When we refer to Yerushalayim, for instance, as klilas yofi. What's klilas yofi? Yofi means beauty. What's klilas yofi? Klilas, he says, is from the word kol. It is the perfection of beauty. It is perfectly beautiful. Right? That's klilas yofi. V'chein kol ha-mitzvah asher tishmurun la'asos. When you observe all of the mitzvah, in other words, you know, kol ha-mitzvos would mean numerically all of the mitzvahs. Kol ha-mitzvah means the mitzvah b'shlei musa, the mitzvah in its fullest sense of the term. And again, just as long as we're quoting Pesukim, let's quote a pasuk that probably most of us know from the very end of Koheles, which has learned on Sukkot, right? Esho Elokim Yerov Yes Mitzvos of Shemar Kizer Kol Ha'adam. Fear God, keep His mitzvos, because that is all of man. What do you mean that is all of man? It says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that is the shleimus of man, that the completion of man is keeping mitzvos, fearing God. That's the Kol Ha'adam, that's the shleimus of what man is all about. And then he says a very cute pshat in a pasuk in Koheles as well, a pasuk that we quote in our davening every morning. Umosar ha'adam in abeim ba'oyin ki akol havel. Right, on the surface, that's a very depressing statement. Man is not greater than beast at all because everything is futility. Gee, that doesn't want to make you want to get up in the morning. So he says, he gives an interesting spin in it. Hakol havel, im ashleimus hu hevel be'enei ha'adam. If you're a kind of guy who looks at the world, who looks at hakol as being hevel, you see the pursuit of perfection as being for naught, as being nothing. So then, mosar ha'adam in abeheim ma'ayim. Ki over here means when. When hakol hevel, when you see shleimus as being a futile pursuit, so then mosar ha'adam in abeheim ma'ayim. But of course, if you don't see shleimus as being a futile pursuit, so then of course man has much more that raises him up over the animals. V'shapir amru kadmonenu ki hu yisparach metuar b'shem kol. Even Hashem can be referred to using the word kol, says Daksav HaKabbalah. Where do we see that? So a famous perplexing statement of Hillel HaZaken, that Hillel used to say when he would come to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, im ani kan hakol kan. If I am here, everything is here. What does that mean? So Mefarshim labor to understand what that means. It says Haksav HaKabal HaKol means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I am here, then Hashem, who is the ultimate Shleimus, the ultimate perfection, is here as well. So therefore, in light of that, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, we can go back to our pasuk and understand it in light of this new understanding of what Kol is all about. Right? So Acharei she'amar morachem v'chitchem yiyeh al kol chayas hasadeh, when the pasuk starts off by saying your fear will be on all of the beasts of the field, the pasuk then goes on to explain why that should be. Why should all of the other creations of the world, plant life, animal life, bird life, why should that all be, you know, put under man's dominion? Why should man have sovereignty over all of these things? His answer is, Alzeh omar bavur nitnu biyedchem klomar. The reason all of the other created creatures are given over to man's sovereignty is because man is uniquely poised to be able to enable those other creations to reach their shleimus, to reach their perfection. And now look at how we read the pasuk. B'yedchem mitanu, into your hands is delivered b'chol asher tirmoso adama u'v'chol degei hayom. All the shleimus, translate the word kol as the shleimus, the perfection of all of the remosim, of all of the crawling things, and the chol of the degei ayam, the shleimus of the fish, all of that is given over into your hands. Right? In other words, that the base, you know, indicates that it's the entirety of, you know, the shleimus, you know, of the potential for shleimus of all of these things is given over into your hands, depending on how you treat the things that you eat. They will either be elevated and reach their shleimus, the Rahman al Islam not reach their shleimus. That's why umarachem v'chitchem yeh al kol chayas hasadeh. That's why man is granted dominion over all of the over all of the other things that exist in the world. These two basin, right, which again seem to be totally superfluous, are really, you know, are saying that, you know, the entirety of that kol, of that shleimus, is something which is up to man. Finally, Aksav HaKabbalah concludes with the following idea. We find later on Parshas Chayisara, it says Hashem Berach is Avram Bakor. Right? And the Ramban over there writes that there's a deep Kabbalistic secret in the idea that Avram was blessed Bakor. So it says Aksav HaKabbalah a little bit, you can now understand. Bakor doesn't just mean he had a lot of stuff, Avram Avinu. Means that he was blessed in a way that spoke to Shleimus. It spoke to a certain completion that Avraham Avinu had. It was the kol, the kolness, the completion which was given over to Avraham Avinu. We have the ability to help the rest of the world reach their Shleimus, reach their perfection. And that's what's indicated over here in the two extra basin in the pasuk. Ez Hashem after Ma'ariv. We'll add yet another idea from the from Aksav HaKabbalah, and we'll continue at that point. Welcome to the second half of the Shir, Aksav HaKabbalah, Parshas Noach. So the second verse I want to speak about tonight is from the a part of the Parsha that very often we go through quickly without really reading, you know, so carefully, and again, it's instructive how the Aksav HaKabbalah over here as well, you know, finds what to dash and what to speak about. The piece we're about to see is also a good example of how the Aksav HaKabbalah lives up to his name, linking the Aksav HaKabbalah. In other words, putting the Torah Shebikhtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh together in ways in which others might not have done so. So in Perek Yud, the Perek goes through all of the genealogy of the children of Noah, their children, their grandchildren, all of the 70 nations that ultimately stemmed from Noach and his children. So after going through the children of Yefes, we're told in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Ulashem Yulad Gamhu. Shem had children Gamhu as well. Not only did Yefes have children, but Shem also had children. Avi Kol B'nei Ever, and indeed Shem was the father of all of the B'nei Ever. The term Gamhu, Shem had children as well, is a curious one. I mean, after all, why say it all together? Just say, well, the Shem Yulad, you know, Shem had children, and these are the children, Elam B'nei Shem, right? The next pasuk goes on to say, B'nei Shem, Elam V'Ashur V'Apachshad V'Lud V'Arom. Just say that. If you say that, you figure out, well, the Shem Yulad Gamu, Shem also had children. You list the names of the children, you can figure out. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that Shem also had children. So the Ksav HaKabbalah first quotes the Ramban. Bavur sheyacher told us, Shem Esiper told us, Achiv hakatan mimenu kiilu lo hayu lo bonim. Omar bo gamhu. The Ramban takes this position that Yefes was a younger brother to Shem. Again, that's debated by the Mefarshim. But the Ramban takes the position that Yefes was a younger brother. So in light of that, the pasuk starts off, the Torah starts off describing the children of Yefes, skipping over Shem. You might have thought that, you might have thought that the fact that the Torah skipped Shem means that he didn't have children altogether. So comes the Torah and reassures us, well, Shem, you lad Gamu, don't worry. You know, Shem also had children, even though we skipped him. Again, of course, you can ask on that Ramban. Okay, we would have figured that out anyway by the next pasuk when it says Shem's children, but that's the Ramban's interpretation. You think? Okay, so you see, the Ramban interprets that differently. Ria Barbanel Omar, the Barbanel interprets, he gives his own tapshah. Lios Shem Osek Tomid Biyunim Elokiyim, Hoya Ola Adas Shalom Isdavik Lisha Klau. An interesting pshat, says the Abarbanel. We know that we have a tradition, Shem was a very spiritual person, a person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we're going to talk about in a few moments, he founded a yeshiva, the yeshiva Shem Ve'Eveh. So you might have thought that he would have chosen to remain celibate, Shem, so that, you know, he could spend all of his time connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, for that reason, the Pasuk has to stress, L'shem Yulad Gamhu, despite the fact that Shem's connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have indicated that he would have remained celibate and not have children, nonetheless, no, he also got married, he also had children, and, I'm sorry?
He's married before the
Lavo. Yeah, okay, so I guess, according to the Abarbanel, you know, maybe he would have divorced his wife and not have children, you know, something of that nature, you know, but, you know, the fact that he chose to have a family was, you know, was despite the fact that he was very involved in these inyanim. I mean, I think what the Abarbanel means is that he might have been married without necessarily having relations, which, again, whether it's advisable, not advisable, but, you know, one might have thought that he would have done that, so, no, you know, he had children, and you know, despite his spiritual leanings. The Ksav HaKabbalah himself, however, wants to suggest a different pshat, different from both the Ramban and the Abarbanel. And here again, we see how the Ksav HaKabbalah attempts to put Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaktav together. V'li nireh acharei sheyodanu mikabbalas rabbosteinu ki shem haya echad mi'anshei ma'ila hagadolim ad she'amru Yaakov avinu lamed beis midrashu shel shem ve'eveh. Right? The Amru Sham Bemedrish Gilo Shem Torah Li Avram. We have many, many indications from Chazal that Shem was an exalted individual who was uniquely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Beis Medrash Shem Ve'eveh. And Malkit Sedek say Chazal Shem ben Noach, and the Midrashim tell us that Shem was the one who taught Torah to Avram, and the Midrashim also tell us
that Shem had a career as a Navi for 400 years, going from country to country, sharing Divrei Nevuah. That's because of the Tana Divrei Eliyahu. Right? So we have all these traditions about the greatness of Shem. Where do you see in the Chumash, in the Torah Shebiktav, that Shem had this exalted character? Okay, we have Midrashim, we have interpretations from Chazal, we have a lot of Torah Shebaal Peh that speaks of the greatness of Shem. But other than the fact that, okay, you know, the Torah Shebiktav speaks about how Shem had a lot of Kiburov, he covered over his father. But the truth is, if you look at the Torah Shebiktav, it doesn't really seem to be a significant difference between Shem and Yefes in that regard. Okay, Chum did his own thing. Shem and Yefes, yeah, the impression you get from Torah Shebiktav is they're more or less in the same boat. Where is the basis for Chazal's understanding that Shem was on such an incredible madriga, that Shem is this, you know, incredibly exalted individual who's spreading Torah and a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world? Omer libi, says Aksav HaKabbalah, my heart tells me, ki gam akosuv lehelim milahodia maloso, right, that there must be a hint in Torah Shebiktav to this idea of Shem's greatness, the kolulo b'milos gam hu, and that's what's included in this pasuk, ulashem yulad gam hu, to him as well Shem had children. Now, where do you see in the words gam hu that Shem was the Rosh Yeshiva? I mean, where do you get that from? So writes the Ksav HaKabbalah, gam is always the Lashon Tosefes V'Ribui. Gam always implies an excess of something, that there's more of something, or that something is greater, right? So for instance, gam atzon v'abokar al yiru, also, you know, the sheep should not graze by Har Sinai. Vayochal gamachol es kaspeinu. Rachel and Leah complain about their father Lavan. He consumed. Yes, indeed, he really consumed all of our money. Right? There's this idea that gam emphasizes something. It shows that, you know, there's a certain extra quality attached to something. Ulafisha ikar hora also. Hutosefes v'ribui, lochein omer anish lo yishamish gam kan rak lemilo be'almo, avo yishamish gam letoar Hashem, v'yore al tosefes v'ribui malo shiyeshno badova. Gam, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, can modify Shem himself. Ulashem yulad, Shem had children. Gam hu. Shem was a person who was excess, who had more than the average person. Tam gam yisron ma'alo. The meaning of the word gam was to say that there was a certain extra something, a certain degree in which, a certain manner in which Shem was exalted and raised over the average person. Well, the Shem yulad. Right, it's as if the pasuk says Shem had children, and then the pasuk puts in parentheses gam hu. This individual Shem was gam. There was something extra and special about him. As the Torah introduces that Shem had children, gam it said something nice about him. Gam hu. He was an extra special person. That's the meaning of gam hu, according to the Aksav HaKabbalah. Says Aksav HaKabbalah, this also explains a very similar lashon which we have back in Parashas Bereishis, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Chaf Vav. There also, in the last section of the of the Pasha, a section which we read rather quickly because it tends to be talking just about, you know, genealogy and the like. The very last pasuk of Perek Dalet, Ulashes Gamhu Yulad Bain. To Shes as well, there was born a son. And here too, the words Gamhu seem to be extraneous. The previous pasuk said that Adam and Chava had a child named Shes.
And Shes also had a son. Okay, I get it. Also, in addition to Adam and Chava. But why say that? Just say, Ula Shes Yulad Bein, Vayikra Shemo Enosh. Right? What's the Gamhu? So here the Ksava Kabbalah quotes from the Gra. We mentioned that before, the Ksava Kabbalah is one of the major sources for ideas from the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon says, "Afshakom min adam heim b'tzelim, mikom makom be'etzem lo nivru b'tzelim ak adam v'sheis." Adam Arisha was created b'tzelim Elokim in a real sense. Sheis, his son, was created b'tzelim Elokim. From Sheis, his son, Enosh, and on, the full degree of the Tzelem Elokim is lost. So says the Vilna Gaon. Explains the Gaon, that's why whenever in Tanakh we want to speak about mankind as lowly man, we use the term Enosh. Ma Enosh kisis kirenu. Why pick on Enosh? Because Enosh was the first human being who was created without the full Tzelem Elokim. Adam had a Tzelem Elokim, Sheis had a Tzelem Elokim, Enosh was great B. And from there on in, the full Tzelem Elokim was lacking. Says Aksav HaKabbalah, that's Pshat Ulashem, Ulashes Yulad Gamhu, Ulashes Gamhu Yulad Bein, right? What's the Gamhu? Sheis Gamhu, he as well had this quality of Gam, he had this excess, this special quality which heretofore had only been the province of Adam HaRishon. Sheis also had it, but after Sheis it was lacking. That's the Gamhu by Sheis as well, says the Aksav HaKabbalah. Right, well, because by Sheis it's it can be Gam in the same sense of also. So he's really interpreting that Gam is not necessarily also. Gam can be just a description of some milo, some excess quality that somebody has, which is not, you know, present in the average person. So that's he's using it in that sense. Yeah. Kind of, apparently not. Right, and I think we understand that their whole Hevel, arguably, maybe, I don't know, you know, but it would appear Kayin not, because that was, you know, later on the descendants of Kayin are described as, Benos HaAdam, you know, as opposed to Bnei HaElokim, you know, so there's something, you know, there's something fundamentally lacking in the descendants of Kayin, probably in Kayin himself in that regard. Goes the Aksav HaKabbalah one step further. So first of all, now we've identified, according to Aksav HaKabbalah, at least a hint in the Chumash itself to the notion that Shem Ben Noach is something special. Well, Shem Yulad Gamhu. Shem is called Gam. There's something excess. There's something above and beyond the ordinary about Shem, the way he interprets the pasuk. So now, second question. Right, we talk about the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. What caused Chazal to identify Eiver as being the Ko-Rosh Yeshiva, together with his great-grandfather, spreading Torah together? Again, if you look at the Pashat Pshat, Torah Shabbat Ksav, where do we see that Eiver is a special person? Says the Aksav HaKabbalah, it's also in this Pasuk. Ulashem Yulad Gamhu Avi Kol B'nei Eiver. He was the father of all the children of Eiver. What is that referring to? So says Aksav HaKabbalah, we find that a Rebbe can be referred to as an Av, as a father. Right? The most outstanding example of this in Tarshish B'Ksav is Elisha's comment about Eliyahu, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisraelu Farashav. Elisha is crying about his Rebbe. Eliyahu is not his biological father. Right, but he's crying about his Rebbe, Eliyahu, you're my father, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Farashov. So in other words, Shem was Avi Kol B'nei Eiver. He was ultimately the Rebbe of all of those children of Eiver. Now what are children of Eiver? Now, simple pshat, you read, okay, it means the descendants of Eiver, but the same way that an Av is the Rebbe, Bonim, we know from Chazal, a Talmidim. So in other words, Shem was the Rebbe of all of the people who ultimately became the Talmidim of Eiver. So in other words, says Aksav HaKabbalah, the Pasuk is telling us that Shem and Eiver opened up a yeshiva. I mean, originally Shem, right? And then Aver, I get, you know, Yashin, the family business, a little bit later on. He worked with his great-grandfather. But as all the Talmidim who were ultimately produced by Aver can trace themselves back to Shem, because Shem was the Rebbe of Aver, who in turn taught all of these Talmidim. And in that regard, so, you know, Shem and Aver were, you know, we're running this yeshiva together. Finally, the last phrase in the pasuk describing Shem is Achi Yefes Agado, right? He was the brother. It depends how you read the pasuk, right? But he was either the older brother of Yefes, right, which is the way the Ramban reads the pasuk, or Achi Yefes Hagado, or else he was the brother of Yefes who was older, right? That's the way Rashi reads the pasuk. So, writes the Haksava Kabbalah. What does that mean? What is that added over here? Hostif Lomi Mimalo Shem Achi Yefes Hagado. Wrote the Lomer Lo Hoyo Lo Achva Vekirvus Mshar Echav Rakim Yefes. Shahaya Godol Amaylo Vashlemus. Kamoshe Tirgim Yonastan Benuzil Achua the Yefes Rabba Bedachalta Da Shem. Shem connected to Yefes because Yefes had a certain greatness in fear of God. That's the way the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel writes. Yefes was Rabba B'dechalto D'Hashem. He was great in the fear of God. Right? We see that Yefes works together with Shem in preserving the dignity of Noah. Hagadol hu Toar LeYefes. Right? The Achi Yefes Hagadol. Gadol refers to Yefes. He was great. Ki im hoya Toar LeShem. If it described Shem, in other words, that Shem was the Gadol, right? So in other words, in terms of the laning, we see that the pasuk is punctuated Achi Yefes HaGadol. There's a Mercha under Yefes. Yefes is put together with Gadol. So in other words, that means that the Gadol, the great one, is Yefes. The Rashi understands Yefes was older than Shem in a chronological sense. Says Aksava Kabbalah, we don't have to weigh in on that. The Pasuk is merely saying that Yefes was Gadol. He was great in his Avodas Hashem. And Shem was Achi Yefes HaGadol. He was the brother of the great Yefes, who was distinguished by his Yirah Shamayim. Now, if you know, you judge by the company you keep. If Shem hung out with Yefes, who had tremendous Yirah Shamayim, it probably tells us something about the quality of who Shem was as well. Yeah.
What Targum says on this
pasuk? Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel.
Yeah.
Again, so everything in the pasuk is meant to tell us the madrega that Shem had, his connection to Aver and the yeshiva which they found together. All of that is merumas, is hinted, or one can argue more than merumas, depending on how you read the pasuk. It's spelled out in the pasuk. Says Aksava Kabbalah, right? Avi Kol B'nei Aver, really, according to the Aksava Kabbalah, is saying that Shem ultimately was responsible for all of these Talmidim of Aver. So we see it's not simply an oral tradition that Chazal have, it's something which can be rooted in the Torah Sheb Iksav. The Iksav and the Kabbalah, in this case, work very beautifully together.
It's interesting that Ashur was from the family of Shem.
Yeah.
So it would be understandable, the Ramban Yisrael, myself, is still more modern.
Yeah.
Ashur, of all the nations, would end up doing tshuva.
The
whole concept that they would take to it, because maybe it was in
right, it was something in their genes a little bit.
Genes or whatever. I mean, yeah. Ashur was, right, and the British was concerned about Ashur maybe more than anybody else.
Right.
Seems to maybe have that spark or something.
Right. Okay, very good. Okay, I wish everyone a good Shabbos. We'll pick up next week, Wednesday after Mincha.